Hello, hello, OTFS podcast listeners. My name is Angelo, and with me today are Nancy and Jay.
It's us.
We are.
Therefore, we am. This is episode 28 of the 11th season, and oh my lord, we have news and announcements for you.
What a surprise. Let's kick it off with welcoming the 404s back to OTFest. Join Alberta's own improv otaku as they make up hilarious scenes and sketches with no script, no preparation, and no idea what they'll do. With your suggestions and anime-inspired situations powering every unique show, the 404s will keep you laughing all weekend long. Don't miss them as they bring the funny, as they've been doing since 2003.
And a very huge welcome to Tiffany Gordon Cosplay. Tiffany is the owner of Tiffany Gordon Cosplay, a company that focuses on costume and prop fabrication as well as education via her live streaming and tutorials, helping to teach others how to create their own cosplays from scratch. She first started building cosplays in 2008, bringing to life her favorite characters from anime and video games using a wide variety of materials. She is most known for her Auriel cosplay from Diablo 3, Atlantic Mercy cosplay from Overwatch, and her BlizzCon 2023 Best in Show cosplay of Lilith from Diablo 4. Check out her website for 2D and 3D blueprint files to help you make your next creation at TiffanyGordonCosplay.com, and check her out on YouTube at YouTube.com/TiffanyGordonCosplay.
Get ready for the official OTFest After Party 2026 Anime Delinquent Rave, brought to you by Roots Collective YYC. Want to extend the OTFest fun? Gather your crew to join the Rebellion Rave. Once the sun sets, the textbooks are burned, and the daytime students have fled. That's when the midnight classroom starts. Join other delinquents at the OTFest official 2026 Anime After Party, where the night is young, vibrant, ripe for the taking. From Tokyo Revengers to classic anime rebels, we're bringing the aesthetic to life at the Palace Theater. This isn't just a party, it's a full experience. Top anime hits and remixes all night long. Mugshot photo booth station. Capture wanted photos with friends. Underground club. Score anime merch and exclusive gear. Immersive real-time animation visuals. Idol uprising. Live J-pop idol group performances. Scheduled to be announced. Stay tuned to the event page. Doors open 9 p.m. ID is required. 18+. Secure your spot now. Tickets are limited. OTAFest/AfterParty2026, that is, OTAFE.ST/AfterParty2026.
Woohoo!
Sunday, because it's literally going to be on a Sunday.
It's a great time.
I want to go to these after parties, but I'm always stuck packing up OTAFest. How cruel it is to be staff.
More like we're just wiped from the weekend.
Yeah, that too.
I was gonna say I'm old.
Yeah,
I'm the youngest person on this podcast, and I'm old.
Ow, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
I refuse to accept the ravages of time. Me
the
and my
of
knees.
Time will have their way with your knees.
You're only as old as you feel. And if
and
you
I
walk
feel
with
old.
Proper heel-to-toe behavior, your knees won't feel as old as they are.
I had to give up driving a standard transmission because I kept re-spraining my one knee.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh,
it was...
My.
It just sucked. It just
that
sucked.
Sounds like a bad time.
People who know me know that I really like driving standard, and, like, it just sucks when your clutch knee is the one that keeps getting sprained over and over.
Do you think that, like, I don't know how much time has passed since those days, but do you think now you could maybe try again if you wanted to, because there's been time to heal?
So I still retain a vehicle that is a standard transmission, and I do occasionally commandeer, let's say very nicely, commandeer the vehicle for driving. And it is very fun to drive still. I do, but I just, it's not my main vehicle, so I'm a little bit sad about it, but it's okay. I still get to drive it whenever I want and whenever the mood strikes.
That's good, at least. I was going to say, you wouldn't want to spend thousands or tens of thousands on dollars on a used or new car, only to find out, standard really don't vibe with my knees anymore still.
Yeah. It is better that I actually just drive it when I have a good opportunity to, because the reason it was so punishing was because I would be driving it in stop and go traffic.
Oh,
yeah,
that
makes sense. Yeah.
So if I'm just driving and I very deliberately want to drive it in a way that doesn't involve stop and go every single day, it's a lot better.
I feel like nobody enjoys stop and go traffic, but when you're in a manual car, it's just even just that much worse.
Just extra bad.
Now that I sort of think about it, in a somewhat related vein, a couple years back, I took motorcycle lessons. I have not purchased said motorbike yet due to several circumstances that came up, but I'm like worried about getting one, not because of any riding safety concerns so much as like, I might have to be in a hunch for like a few, like, you know, maybe an hour or something, depending on the travel time. My back's gonna get tired.
Just get something with a more upright something with
I'm not a cruiser fan though. I don't like Harleys,
and I don't really love the look or feel of drag bars.
Fair. Meanwhile, I'm over here being like, I want to put ape hangers on my bicycle.
I mean, you do you.
Yeah,
that's
at the
amazing.
End of the day, that's
it's
everyone
so
has
much
their
more
personal.
I don't care if
personal
it's not
vehicle aesthetic.
You do you, but I have compact female body, so if I were to have a motorcycle, I would probably stick with something that had a different posture.
Yeah, that's valid. That is fair. Oh, God. I was looking at Honda's website, and I was like, Honda Monkey cute.
Oh,
Honda,
you're thinking
Monkey,
about the monkey.
Fun-looking motorcycle. I'm thinking about it. It's not going to happen.
I think I might end up with a Rebel.
Ah.
But we'll see what happens.
I love being a giant person on top of a tiny bike.
I have come to understand that you have a thing for this aesthetic.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, we've talked about anytime the topic comes up, we're like, K-truck? K-van?
K-truck.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm increasingly seeing more and more of them in my neighborhood, and I'm for it. I think some of them are legitimately some people's daily driver / work vehicle, and I'm like, yay. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this little cute blue K-van that rolls around in my quadrant of this sprawling-ass city that we live in now. And yeah, whenever I see it, I'm like, I wish I could do the equivalent of, like, you know when you were a kid and maybe you're standing by some, like, by like a train or like maybe like a fire truck or a trucker, and you want to make like the big horn honk like air pull thing. I want to do like the equivalent but with like the K truck, so make them go like toot toot.
Oh my god.
Beep, beep.
But speaking of commuting, you guys heard about the Hello Kitty cards, hey?
Yeah. Vancouver
those
has
passes.
Their own little pass called a
TransLink.
Link.
Compass card.
Pass.
Oh, sorry, the TransLink pass.
Compass cards, I think, technically.
It's kind of like in Japan, they have their Suica cards, they have their Passmo cards, they have their Ikoka cards. In Calgary, we don't get fun cards.
No.
We get a phone app.
Or
a very
app.
Basic monthly pass, and that's it. What the heck?
Yep.
But Vancouver, they have on their Compass cards, brand new Hello Kitty and Friends featured cards. There's like four different cards that you can get. And it was so crazy. And I said that you can get You can't get them anymore. By the time this airs, they are all gone.
Yep.
But they were available for sale on Saturday, April 4th. And after that, they were all online. And they're, to my understanding, all picked up now. But they were so cute. Oh my god. They had, like, of course, Hello Kitty. They also had, like, Cinema Roll and Kuromi. One of them had Pom Pom Pudding.
Yeah, there's one that's, like, basically the whole crew. Like, I think there's, like, 10 different characters on it. So you could get, you know, you're riding with the Sanrio group tied to your, like, I don't know, lanyard or however you like to carry a smart card, I guess. Sometimes in a wallet. I don't know. But it seemed super cute.
To be perfectly honest, I am not the biggest Sanrio fan. I would say that under normal circumstances, I barely even count as a Sanrio fan. But I did grow up watching Hello Kitty, watching Karopi on TV. I do appreciate them. They're very nostalgic. I do like the general... I do like the general character designs. Agretzuko really spoke to me on a deep level. Unfortunately, she's not on any of the cards.
No, she's not. Otherwise, she'd be my pick.
It's interesting because I think she's not technically considered standard Sanrio fare. Like,
well, she's not like a Hello Kitty and Friends character, right?
Well, she doesn't get cross promoed essentially into being one of Hello Kitty's friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, like, it's sort of the same thing with Pachaco and Kuropi. They're also not there.
But they will show up. But they will show up on merchandise with Hello Kitty. That's what I'm saying. Like, Agretzuko does not get that.
Yes, Agretzuko is very much her own property.
Agretzuko.
She is an adult. She is in Sanrio adult land instead of Sanrio
kids. It would be really weird if
Agretzuko
was just, like, hanging out with Hello Kitty. A 20-something-year-old office lady hanging out with, like, an 8-year-old cat girl?
Well,
it'd be a little bit weird.
That's the thing.
Maybe, depends on what
Hello Kitty isn't a cat. She's just a girl.
She's a girl.
Exactly. She's just
a girl in London.
But this reminds me. So I am heading off to Japan in November again. And I was looking at things. And, of course, I can get a Welcome Suica again. At this point, I'm pretty sure that my Pixel 8 will just work with their phone app for foreigners. But there's also, you can get a Hello Kitty Pasmo card. I think it's called Pasmo Passport for the foreigner card. The one that expires after
month. Yeah, I think they have one that's, like a more permanent one. They've had limited edition cards as well, depending on which regional IC card you're using, but I think there is a permanent Sanrio branded one, co-branded one.
Yes. You have to go to a specific train station to get it, though. Yeah,
that's the thing. I don't know if you can pick it up from the Narita airport.
You cannot.
No,
you'd
Narita
have to
airport
pick up, like, a
is
temporary one.
Yeah, Narita I think is only for the Suicas.
Yeah,
I've only ever seen Suica at Narita anyway.
I might just have to go with the Suica card, or I might just get the phone app instead. That might be easier. But seeing the Pasmo card, it was like, maybe what I do.
Treat yourself.
I get the Welcome Suica again, and then I just go where the Pasmo Passport card is and get one of those too.
That's what we did last time. That's exactly what Sean did last time.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Just picked up the Welcome Suica that was at the airport. Yeah. And then when we got down to Beppu, we picked up a different one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just think about it this way. The only thing you're really losing, quote unquote, is $5 because it's 500 yen for the purchase deposit because you can technically refund and return these things if you really wanted to.
The Welcome Suica has no deposit on it.
No. So you can just pick that up.
You
and
have
it'll
to
come
load
with
it.
20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'll
it
come
has to have
like
a minimum
yen.
Purchase because whatever you buy it for, that amount of money just gets added to the card immediately.
I see.
Yep. So usually then, you pick it up and you get 2,000 yen on the card.
And I'm pretty sure the Pasmo Passport is the exact same way.
Nice.
You can only buy it if you are a foreigner. Like, you have to show your passport, your actual passport, proving that you are not Japanese when you buy it.
Meanwhile, Angelo confidently striding into the store and speaking in flawless Japanese. "I am a foreigner," he says. "I would like to purchase your card." They say, "No, you are clearly not a foreigner. Get out. You know what
clearly
you are.
Not. I am. I would just straight up blend in with the average Japanese group. Absolutely.
Yeah, your height wouldn't give you away at all.
Being hey, a foot taller dude, than the average Japanese.
Just say
person
you're a.
Would give
just
it away.
Say you're a.
Being a big
family
bearded,
member
bald,
of Lady Beard
wouldn't give it away.
Yeah,
family
I wouldn't give
member
it away at all.
Of Lady
not
Beard.
At all.
Lady Beard's cousin.
But the thing about the Pasmo passport is it's the same way. It doesn't have a. It doesn't
deposit.
Have a deposit on it because it just straight up expires after 30 days.
Yep.
It's
and it's
done.
Meant to be kept as a memento.
Yeah. Like
yeah,
it's a built-in souvenir.
You can just do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
I would make
and
it
that's
into
what
a
I
magnet.
Love about them. They are just, I still have my old welcome Suica in my wallet.
Yeah. It's
why?
So cute.
I could put it anywhere. It doesn't need to be with me, but it's
but
just,
it's cute.
It's fun to have it in my wallet.
It is.
So
and it's
here's
adorable.
A,
I love the
here's
design.
A, I have a confession. I, you know that I don't really collect things. Like, it's very rare for me to collect anything. However, I kind of like having a variety, completely unnecessary, of travel cards. Like, IC
it's
cards.
Fun.
Yes, I do like them. I think it's partially because of how functional they actually are. Like, especially when you're in, like, Hong Kong has the Octopus card, Japan has their various IC cards. You can just, you load them. Yeah, you're buying them for $5 or whatever, but I mean, like, I'm traveling anyways. $5, I can't
it's
just...
It's nothing.
I can't stop my purchasing because of a $5 surcharge. And then I just can use it anywhere. I can use it at the convenience stores. In Hong Kong, you can pay for entire meals at restaurants using the Octopus card. Like, I feel no hesitation for it because it's a utility and it's a cool utility that I like.
Exactly. And not only that, when I pull out the Welcome Suica, I start thinking of all of the trips that I had with it. I start
True.
Thinking when Tio and I were just going from train station to train station because Dio wanted to collect stamps.
Hell
and
yeah.
One of the times, the stamp was outside of the ticket gate,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
we were already there. Screw it. We had to go outside the ticket gate. We had to tap back in. We had to spend like the extra $1.50 to do that, whatever. But it was like seamless because we had the little welcome Suica.
Little tippy taps.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
it was just, it's like trips like that. That this silly little 5-gram memento makes you think of, you know? And that's kind of why I want a different one for my upcoming trip. I want to grab like a Pasmo or an Icoca or something.
So you're taking me with you in your carry-on, right?
Sure. Okay.
Cool. See you there.
You're taking me with you in your checked luggage.
Yeah, sure.
I'm small enough to be a carry-on. It's fine.
Exactly. Sean will have to find their own checked luggage to sneak into.
Probably Dio's. Yeah.
But Dio and I, we already knew we wanted to do it. And
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
we made sure to get the tickets before or as it started to skyrocket in price because of gas issues.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to ride this one out.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
Yeah. My partner and I are not planning international travel too soon. We'll see how things ride out, obviously, with how the world, quote unquote, has been. But we're doing local travel. We are gonna travel out to Eastern Canada.
Are you going to the
they've
Maritimes?
They've never been, and I've...
Are you going out to the Maritimes or more like Ontario?
Not as far. I still haven't been to the Maritimes. I do want to go out as far as Nova Scotia and whatever that little French island thing that happens out by Nova Scotia is. But we're planning to go to like Quebec and Toronto because we have friends there as well. But I've been to Quebec and she has not. It'll be a good time. There's good food there.
That'll be great.
There's an actual sense of history in that place. as opposed to where we live, which has no history and no transportation cards to decorate.
I know. How dare.
We have Calgary history, Transit. But it's pretty short.
Calgary Transit, give us a heckin' card. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But,
hey, no, we're talking about a province that still prints out our health cards on paper.
As someone who came here from Ontario, there is plenty of history in Calgary. It's just a matter of when it started. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the later a historical record starts, generally, the better the records are.
Yes.
And so there's more to learn about it.
It's more well recorded.
There is a lot
certainly.
Of interesting stuff to learn about here in Calgary.
But I feel like part of it is always like that thing where like you don't care about it as much because you're surrounded by it and you don't notice it because it's just where you live. And when you go somewhere else, it's different and whatnot. I do agree with all that, but I would just say that atmospherically, it's harder to feel the history of Calgary. Especially we do have a tendency to actively tear down historical buildings and build on top of where they once stood.
Yeah, yes, that is unfortunate.
But like walking down Stephen Ave feels so cool. Even though it's mostly just the facade of the old buildings there, the fact the facade of the old buildings are still there is still really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. But no, in Montreal, you just get all the old original buildings. They're just still there.
Yep.
Neat.
They just are.
The cathedrals, the cobblestone, it's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to Europe yet.
Yeah.
I know it's I know that's just an imitation of how Europe feels as well, but I will take it at a fraction of the cost.
Absolutely.
Kind of.
Speaking of a fraction of the cost.
Oh no.
It feels like you have to get all of your electronics 8 months ago if you want them for a fraction of the cost of now.
Dang it.
And also buy them now to get them at a fraction of the cost for tomorrow. The uncertainties of tomorrow.
Sony just recently upped the price of the PlayStation 5 for the second time in a 6-month period.
What?
Yep.
And I believe this is the first time that any of PlayStation's consoles has cost more 6 years after it was released.
7 years.
Than it did on
six,
launch.
Seven.
Please
it's
don't.
7 years.
It's been 7 years since the PS5 came out?
Yep.
Wow.
The original PS5.
Wow.
When the options were either you went digital only or you could have one with a disk drive.
So
remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. And straight up, the current issues in the electronics markets have extended now beyond RAM, beyond storage. CPUs are starting to go crazy. GPUs, of course, have been insane since goddamn NFTs exploded eons ago.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we are getting constantly more and more priced out of like tech hobbies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it feels like there isn't that much of an end in sight. RAM has recently had a little bit of a tumble, but that's like 10% down over a 300% increase.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's cheaper than it was like 3 weeks ago, that's still way more expensive than it was half a year ago.
Yep. And this is not inflation. This is just, quote unquote, the state of the world. And the market that we've inherited. But anyways, this hasn't happened yet. And technically, I believe Nintendo put out a presser saying they wouldn't look at doing so immediately. But I bought a Switch too because I have heard too much and seen too much about the volatility of electronics prices. And I was just like, screw it. I'm getting myself the official Nintendo emulation system because that's kind of what I do with it right now. I have an online membership and part of their online membership is that they give you a huge free access, quote unquote, free to a lot of their retro. Yeah. For the retro library that they have. So that's kind of nice. I've been playing NES games and Super Nintendo and N64
on my $650 console.
Do you have Goof Troop for the Super Nintendo on there? Is that an emulatable game? Because that
Goof
one
Troop.
Was so damn good.
I don't remember. There's actually, like, I would, it's not a huge library of games. I want to say it's about 30 to 40 games, maybe 30, closer
Goof
to
Troop
30
is
games
almost
per.
Certainly not there.
Yeah. Goof Troop's probably not there. They do like to prioritize a lot of their, first of all, like their first party. So, like, speaking of party, it's going to be Mario Party. And then.
Ain't no party they, like Mario Party.
Yeah, they do like Donkey Kong and Kirby
Except
and things like that.
Except, of course,
and then,
the OdaFest official after party. That one is a party like Mario Party. So go to that too. Get your tickets.
Yeah.
True. Nice.
It's an experience.
Nice.
And it's at the Palace.
Yeah, and the Palace is only at like a half block walk away.
I've performed at the Palace a few times. It's really fun.
Oh my God. Nancy's strong.
No.
She's performed for royalty. That's why it's called the Palace.
Exactly. So is there anything, so me, a Nintendo hater, if you will, is there anything other than the emulation that you find really fun about it? Were there any other games that you got for it right now?
That's the thing. I haven't bought.
The library
haven't
is
bought a game for it.
Wow!
But
wow.
I still have my old games. I have my Switch 1 games.
Well, of course.
Some of them got
it
like a
Switch
free.
Games.
Yeah, some of them got a free update. Where it's not a compatibility thing. More like they did update like textures and essentially like just made it a smoother, more compatible feeling with the Switch 2 hardware. I like the hardware itself. It feels much more premium than the Switch 1 experience. Even the like OLED stuff for the Switch 1 doesn't feel quite as polished, I feel like, as the Switch 2.
Oh, straight up, no. From what I've seen of the Switch 2, it does seem like an actually better manufactured, better made device.
Yeah. I think like the game that I was sort of humming and hawing on is Pocopia. I've seen so much content for Pocopia.
Yeah.
I haven't jumped into it because I worry that I won't finish it. And the reason for that is because I've spent so much time in Minecraft. And this game is basically like heavily story-based Minecraft, but at the end game it's still Minecraft, and I feel like I just won't invest myself in that world enough. So yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it's more like a placeholder for like Pokemon Winds and Waves, you know.
Yes,
so I gotta get my Brout.
Pokemon Weewa.
Yeah, Weewa.
Oh, you're looking for Brout.
Yeah, I think I'm settled on Brout. Yeah, dude.
That's fair.
That's cute.
They're all really cute.
They are cute.
They are.
But yeah, like
they're so good at coming up with starters these days.
They're a lot better at it now, for sure.
I'm definitely enjoying the current era more than previous. For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the work of their marketing team is better now, too.
Possibly. Ah, but you weren't the only person. You weren't the only person who did some technology shopping. I decided that my almost 10-year-old laptop just isn't that easy to move around with. It was, even at the time when I bought it, I wanted like an ultrabook. Mm-hmm. I wanted something thin and light. I wanted something that I could easily bring around.
Yeah.
But at the time, I had a very hard requirement of a physical network port. And that was just not something that you could find in a lot of ultrabooks at the time.
Yeah.
And you could say, oh, well, then you use a USB dongle. And I would say, that's okay if they had enough USB ports to really support that. No. So I ended up buying a gamer laptop at the time. And it has been a fantastic laptop. I still have it. It's showing its age in many ways. And I decided that, you know, maybe it's finally the time to stop being a tablet hater and actually get myself a nice little Android tablet.
Yay. Uh-huh. Join the tablet family.
A nice little Android tablet. I mean, I got a 13-inch fucking behemoth of a tablet.
Dang, that's big.
It is massive.
Is that considered large? I don't know. I don't know tablet sizing because I don't own one either.
It's big.
So, for example, the iPad Mini is a 9-inch tablet, if I remember correctly. The original iPad was a 10 or 11-inch, something around there.
10 or 11, yeah.
The iPad Studio or iPad Pro, I think they call them, are between 11 to 13-inch.
Correct.
Are tablet sizes still spec to laptop screen sizes? Like a because laptops, I think, start at 13.1 inch.
They're measured on the diagonal.
They're measured on the diagonal.
Yeah, but the tablet is still like a 13.1, or are they, can they be 13 or 12.9 or whatever?
They are different because they're not always the same aspect ratio.
Yeah.
So, for example, my tablet here isn't a 16:9 aspect ratio. It's actually closer to, I think, 2:3. Or 3-2. But I got myself the OnePlus Tab 3.
Nice.
OnePlus Pad 3.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't know OnePlus made those.
They do. And I wanted it for a couple of reasons. First of all, a similarly spec'd laptop or similarly spec'd tablet from Samsung would have been about $600 more.
That's a lot.
It certainly is. It certainly is. This tablet went for $1,000. And with the keyboard case and the stylus added in, it was $1,150 after tax and shipping.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money for what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of an investment, right? Because you're not like, it's going to be with you for a long time.
I hopefully another 10 years. 3 to 4 years out of use out of it.
At least.
Not 10. Now, having that said, this is also good because when I'm going to Japan later on this year, I did that carrying around my massive fuck huge laptop. It was miserable.
Oh, brother.
Yes,
it sucked.
Yes, it was.
No. No.
And so now I have this. It's like a third of the weight.
It's night and day.
Probably an eighth of the volume. It is so much better. And the other nice thing about it, this is one of the big reasons why I went with an Android tablet, is because when I'm drawing, I use a program called Krita on my desktop. And Krita actually has a one-to-one app for Android. It is literally the Krita desktop app exported to Android.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Which I love about it, because unfortunately the main painting app I liked does not do that.
They don't do that. Oh my god. I would love to talk about that in a moment. The problem with desktop Krita on a very, very, very high resolution, very, very, very small screen is that everything is such a pain to adjust. When I want to hit the little three dots that are between two different dockers to resize them, I have to go in with surgical precision manage
it. That's what the stylus is for, I suppose.
The stylus isn't accurate enough.
No way.
The stylus is incredibly accurate, but it's not accurate enough to hit that. It's actually just that hard because you have a control that was like 6 pixels on desktop. And now you're doing that on like a 300 pixel per inch screen.
Have you considered adjusting the UI size?
That's the because Krita doesn't use native UI under Android, that doesn't matter.
God dang it. All right, so you're basically just going to have to spend time setting everything up exactly right and then never touching it again.
Exactly. I've already found a way. I've found a way to make it work right for my use case, and then I saved that as a preset in Krita so I can always go back to it if I ever screw it up.
Good.
Yes.
Excellent.
Nice work.
But it's nice. I've got Sync Thing running, so all of my art from my desktop goes right to my tablet and vice versa. If I edit it somewhere, I can just open it on the other and start getting to it again.
Nice.
It's really cool. It's really fun. I'm actually kind of digging it.
Nice. I'm glad. I'm glad it only took me how many years to talk you into getting a tablet.
And one of the funniest parts is, because my old Pixel 8, it wasn't really made for mobile gaming at all. Even something like FGO ran kind of like poop on it. But that's what it was expected. That's mm-hmm. how it's spec'd. That's how it is. Holy shit, these things run fantastic on a tablet.
Yeah, they sure do.
They sure do.
They sure do. Back
and
in the days when we...
It's a massive battery, so it just goes all day.
It feels... Back when we actually played Genshin and, like, Honkai Star Rail, those things ran really nicely on our tablets.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And not,
I just...
absolutely not on my phone.
I almost... Like, I totally get where you're coming from. I think... just conceptually for me, as maybe now the only tablet holder outer on this podcast, it just feels conceptually weird to say I'm playing mobile games on a computer.
Yes. Well, honestly, I actually liked playing things like Nikkei or Umamusume on my laptop or on my PC. It was really nice that they had a computer,
that makes sense.
That they had a PC client.
Yeah,
they actually run worse on PC than they do on mobile hardware.
That's really funny.
I enjoyed playing Genshin using a keyboard and a mouse. It's a lot harder to play it on a touchscreen for me, and that's just because of my skill level. I'm not as good as Sophie, but it was just like it, and the games that are compiled for the tablet don't come with the ability to use the keyboard attachment instead. So I am stuck playing that game using a touchscreen if I play it on a tablet.
If I were to play Genshin on my tablet, I think I would have to pair my Xbox controller to the tablet. They're Bluetooth. They can do that. I am pretty sure that would work.
Depends on how that app was compiled.
Yeah. Genshin specifically, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I haven't tried it. But
beyond that, it's very game-by-game thing.
But it was just really nice to have it.
And you were saying about, was it Clip Studio Paint?
I didn't list it by name, but yes, that is what I meant. And it bothers me immensely that they have a version that I could run on my tablet, but it is a subscription only, despite the fact that I own an actual license for it for use on a desktop.
I remember you telling me that a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was when I was really, really mad about it. I think I ranted at you about it over drinks for like 2 hours.
And that was actually one of the reasons why I kept using Krita instead of ever trying Clip Studio in the first place.
Because
Clip Studio Paint, to be perfectly clear, is one of the best drawing programs on desktop, just straight up. If you want to do drawing... and you're not a cheap bastard like I am, Clip Studio Paint is probably the best program to use. And if you are a little bit cheaper, you can wait for a sale, and they have amazing sales usually once or twice a year.
They do, and they're
and
quite
you can get
vocal
lifetime,
about them.
Yeah, you can get lifetime licenses.
Exactly.
Back when I used to draw, I still have my tablet. But yes, it is a very good program, and it's better, still better than buying into... the fucking model that Adobe goes with now. So
yes, like quite frankly, Steam basically trained me how not to be a goddamn software pirate. And at this point in time, if software has an awful purchasing experience, I refuse it.
Yeah,
I simply
like
won't
that
use
too.
It. I do
I'm
not
like
use the Adobe suite. At all. I do not even want to be close to being bought in on it. I just don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Clip Studio Paint being a one-time purchase thing, and sometimes on for a very generous deal, I have multiple times thought, you know, I could use this. But then we go into tablets, and I'm like, well, I kind of want one of those, and now I have one. I would have to buy a subscription just to use it and to read all my files that I've already drawn on my tablet. No, get out of here.
Yeah.
And so I have Krita literally for free that can do that.
Yeah. So when I got a tablet, I went the Procreate route, and it has been really good because it was a really, it was built for my tablet. So I guess that helps a lot. I have an iPad Pro, but yeah. It just, the UI created a more art-centric feeling rather than a tool-centric feeling. And I mean, I am the person who started using Photoshop back when it was not something that belonged to Adobe, like in its pre-bought by Adobe days, in like version 4 or 5 or whatever it was when I started playing around.
Oh, wow. Photoshop came on CDs.
Yeah, and I'm very comfortable with having tons of tools everywhere. But I have to say that the moment you get rid of all of that and it's just your stylus and basically just the canvas, it's different. It feels different.
Yeah, I mean, the equivalent is just saying, like, you have pencil and paper or canvas and brush,
like,
right? Like, there's
it
no.
It feels very much like this was made for artists. Yes. And it was, right? That
it's
was
holistic.
The game.
Like, Krita on my desktop, I like to have all of my dockers so I can control everything all at once.
Yeah, sure.
On my tablet, where screen real estate is a premium because it's a literally smaller screen, I pared it down to the minimum amount of dockers and things that I could reasonably afford. That the minimum amount of clutter in my space so I can just take my stylus and just go like, bah, 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 and scribble on my screen.
I really liked what having a tablet did for like just my art journey. I'm still not a great artist. You know, I often find myself without time to actually sit down and work on a piece, but I still like opening it up and just scribbling sometimes.
Yeah.
The
main
scribbling.
Reason that I wanted this is that sometimes I just want to flop onto the couch and doodle.
Yeah.
I want to just, the lays about, it just
in
melt
your luxury
onto
bird
a piece
cage.
Of furniture and be able to scribble. Whereas without it, I am kind of stuck on my desktop where I'm in my office chair. I'm sitting straight up and I'm
that's
drawing
fair.
There. And
no,
that is
true.
Where I do my best drawing. But sometimes I don't want to do my best drawing. I want to do my fun drawing. You know?
Yep.
You know
what we need to do?
As
we
I
need to.
Yes.
We need to start up around a Gartic phone.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately just not clever enough for Gartic phone. I'm just not clever.
Just practice. Play Gartic phone and practice your cleverosity. It's easy.
Yes.
All you
cleverosity
have to do is play.
Is a difficult skill / stat to boost.
We could Gartic it up. Oh, I have a question for both of you because you do draw on your tablets. Did either of you get... technically, I guess by definition, it's a screen protector, but it's like the one that sort of gives it a little bit more of a rougher feel, so it feels a little bit like paper.
Okay.
I don't know what they're called off the top of my head.
They're just usually like a matte screen protector, but even the matte ones give you a paper feel, but some of them are designed explicitly for paper feel.
Yes.
I do not have that for my Android tablet.
I do.
While it would feel better, absolutely... I already have the feeling, I already have the opinion, that every single tablet I've used has required a little bit of a different muscle memory. So I'll just get fucking used to it. I'll just get good. If I'm worried about the screen being too glassy, skill issue, draw more.
Maybe. I think for me it was more just protecting the actual finish of the screen. So I got one that is a... It's supposed to feel like paper, but what it does is it actually comes with a steel nib for your pen. So your stylus actually has a different nib material to go with it.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
That paired with the protector makes it feel like I'm drawing on paper with a ballpoint pen, which is a very familiar
Ooh.
Feeling for me because of the years I spent taking notes with a ballpoint pen and drawing in the margins.
Okay.
Drawing little
in
anime
respect,
girls in the margins of my notes.
With that respect, I feel like my ideal texture is printer paper and a mechanical pencil.
Yes.
So
no, that's
if
really
they can do that,
one.
Yeah. Not that printer paper is remotely close to like art book sketching paper, but that's definitely what I grew up on.
Yeah. Like that's valid. That's fair.
Probably the one thing I would criticize for the setup that I currently have with like the metal tip on the nib and having a non-smooth screen protector on. The one thing I would say is bad about it is the sound. It's not a good sound experience.
I was going
to
say,
quiet.
It probably sounds a little bit like, I don't know, it's like dragging something across a pebbled surface, essentially, is my imagination.
It tangentially reminds me of what it is to write on a chalkboard.
Ooh,
that's worse.
Oh. It's a very specific sound. It's a very specific tactile feedback. If you don't like it, you will not like my setup. But if you do like it and you find that this is a very interesting tactile response for you, it makes me want to draw more.
The stylus on mine has a softer plastic, almost rubbery tip on the end of it, which actually does make me feel better about it because...
It gives
criticism
you resistance.
For the tablet where criticism is due.
Yeah.
The pressure sensitivity on this tablet is insane.
Yes.
Because the very light pressures, it barely registers. And so if I really want pressure sensitivity, I had to press really, really hard to the point I was like, am I going to go through my fucking glass?
That's weird. And Krita has pressure settings, right?
Yes, it does. And I was able to get in there and adjust them. I adjusted the maximum pressure down from 100% down to 30%.
Wow.
And I had to bring my minimum pressure from like 0% up to like almost like 15, almost 20%. So from the 100% pressure range, I'm actually down to using about a 15 to 20% area of that range. And I'm like, guys, this is crazy.
That's crazy.
Why were you ever set up to handle the pressure of a gorilla on my glass?
Yikes.
To show that we use the finest in gorilla glass.
The finest in gorilla glass.
Meow. I think that's about all we have time for this week, but this has been a very fun episode, and it's been a wonderful time hanging out with you two. But I think it's time to see you next week.
And next week, I can tell you all about my failure focaccia.
Yippee! Oh. Failure focaccia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an alliteration,
but we'll
so it must
for next
be good.
Time.
Oh, it must be delicious. It's focaccia, after all.
It is.
Exactly.
Yeah. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.